Hello, it's Heather Smith here, and today I'm sharing with you a recording of a panel session entitled Building Your Startup's Profile with Media. This was recorded at the 2024 Tropical Innovation Festival held in Cairns in June annually. The introduction is done by the lovely Nikki Jurd, a digital strategist and web developer based in Cairns. Joining me in the panel discussion was Carmen Braidwood, a modern media trainer and experienced television presenter from Perth, and Gemma Clancy, a startup marketing advisor based on the Sunshine Coast. In this session, we talk about understanding the media landscape, crafting a compelling story, building a strong founder brand, focus on trust and integrity, and leveraging modern media tools. While you are listening, I encourage you to take a moment and subscribe to this podcast. And regular listeners will be excited to hear that I got a proper domain for my newsletter. If you jump across to accountingapps.io, you can subscribe to the newsletter that Nikki talks about in her introduction. I hope you enjoy the episode, and I do encourage you to connect with everyone who is in this session. Thank you.
So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Heather. Heather, come on down and join me. Heather's going to be talking about attracting media to your business, and she's got a panel of people that she's going to work with and introduce. So what do you think? As an accountant, would you pick her in the street?
No.
You know, Heather has the most amazing email newsletter. I met her at TIFF last year, and I've been a subscriber to her newsletter for some time. And it's one of the few newsletters I leave in my inbox while I read Heather's, and actually also Dante's. Dante, give everyone away. He's got a LinkedIn newsletter that's also pretty cracking because he always talks about the stuff-ups that he has. So Heather has also authored 10 books, and she tends to do this with a cup of tea and a puppy. So please, give her a rousing welcome.
Lovely introduction, and we do have four accountants in the room today, so you can try and support the other ones, four that I know of.
Can I ask our panelists to come up?
Yes.
Sure. Now, the funny thing is we're about to do a session on media, and we've all brought our own media recording.
That's how you know you can trust us.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to borrow yours. I figure we can pull this.
So today we're doing a session on building your startup profile with media. I'm very excited to be doing this session because I feel that I'm actually going to learn a huge amount from both of our expert speakers. Now I'm going to hand straight over to you both. Can you introduce yourself? Who are you? Where are you from? And what brings you to this discussion today?
Thank you. Oh, thanks. Yes, I'll go first. Hello. We just discussed, didn't we, Mish? This is often the hardest question to answer. It's like the sum total of all my parts, and here they are.
Yeah. Sometimes I find that the introduction, if I do it, it's not the person you want to be today.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. We've got an iteration of ourselves, haven't we? So in the context of media, let me give you that one. So in the context of media, I am a modern media trainer. And the reason I stick the modern in front is because I have a background as a broadcaster, a television and radio presenter. I was a frustrated talkback presenter who really got the shits with media-trained talking heads who just wouldn't answer my questions. And I really honestly started to call them show fuckers, if I can say that. You know, at the end of the day, as a broadcaster, we are relying on listenership. And the last thing I want to do is bring on some talking head from an organisation, and I can think of a few aviators who are a bit like this, or politicians, and they just give me spin. And I could tell they'd been media trained to within an inch of their lives. And whilst they were great talent sometimes, they would frustrate me, and I could tell that meant they were frustrating my audience. And one of the great things about the modern media landscape is that we've got an opportunity now to get behind the scenes of these people and really understand what they're like. So as a modern media trainer, not only do I help you navigate those appearances on TV and radio in a way that's going to protect your brand if necessary, but also help you be a talent that gets asked back. Help you be someone who's actually entertaining, and help you be someone who demonstrates integrity through your answers. That means that my audience will actually trust you, and that's to your benefit. help you trust the broadcaster, that we're not there to hang you out to dry. We actually want to help you endear yourself to the audience, but you've got to accept the fact that this is a relationship. And if you give me good content, if you give me unique insights that my audience wants to hear from you, I'm going to be like, that's a great person. So that's the kind of media trainer I am. I take into account the online content, the digital content like Gemma's making as a podcaster and a platform producer. And you can use that to leverage those kind of things in the media, but also the traditional or legacy media stuff.
Thank you so much.
Amazing. It's pretty intimidating being next to somebody who's a professional presenter. So I'm not a professional presenter. I'm just Gemma.
Great Gemma.
Thanks, Carmen. So my work's around two key beliefs that I have around why I think a lot of startups fail or founders don't achieve the success that they want to achieve. And those two things are that one is that they're not able to successfully tell and sell their story and what they're trying to do really, really effectively. Despite all the passion that they might have or how great their product is, they just can't sell that story. And then the second thing is that they don't necessarily have the connections to the right people that they need to get the right expertise into their team or to get in front of the right people, whether that's media or investors, etc. So the two things that I do are, one is as a marketing advisor, and I have a company called Stellar Startups that helps marketers, that helps founders make sense of their marketing with our team of expert marketers who can kind of come in a fractional sense and help people set up their marketing foundations, what we refer to as marketing foundations. So that's things like messaging, their key strategy, their operations and things like that, and then help them execute it in a way that makes sense for them. So not in a big corporate marketing way, but in a way that makes sense for startup budgets and resources and time and all the hecticness that comes with startups. So that's Stellar Startups. And then the second thing I do, which is kind of somewhat more relevant to this panel, is that I essentially have a grassroots media platform. It's called Overnight Success. We have a weekly newsletter that covers the previous week's news. It's all about Aussie startups and venture capital. It comes out on a Saturday morning. If you'd like to subscribe, you can go to overnightsuccess.vc. And we're also about to launch a podcast that will come out on the 1st of July that will be an audio version of that. So if you're not a newsletter reader, you can listen to it in audio form. So essentially my work as a marketing advisor helps people figure out what is that story. And then my work on the Overnight Success side is essentially telling those stories. They're actually two completely separate businesses. I didn't set them up as some lovely lead funnel, as much as I would like to claim that that's my amazing marketing genius. They're completely separate. But I can kind of put on two hats and see both sides of the coin from a media and a marketing perspective.
I love that you both weave the importance of relationships into what you do. And Noah mentioned Facebook or anything like that. So what can and can't media achieve for your startup?
Wow, it's a big question. I think it's important to just say what we think media is because, say, Karma's come from a background in kind of traditional media and now is transitioning into what you refer to as modern media, and let you talk about that a little bit more. But when we were caught up before this chat, we talked about, what is media and defining that. Mm-hmm. And I think for the purpose of this chat, we're going to focus largely on media being things that are like platforms or organisations that have platforms that you can't control. Like, you can't fully control. You're just trying to convince them to help you tell your story. So when it comes to the question of what can media do for your business, that depends on how well, I think, can you lean into that, the sense of ambiguity that can sometimes come with working with media companies, and also the kind of level, degree of control that you do and don't have in those relationships. And I would say a lot of founders have kind of huge expectations of what media can achieve for them, particularly from like a lead generation perspective. But I often look at media as being a little bit more on the brand awareness and credibility building side as opposed to a lead generation thing.
Do not expect that if you score a radio or a TV appearance, for instance, or a podcast appearance, or even a spot on a panel like this, that you're going to sell, at the end of it. A lot of people in the past that I've, as a producer, for instance, approached and said, hey, can you come on my show, they're sort of saying, oh, but how can you guarantee that I will get leads? So this is not about leads. This is about the awareness that we use LinkedIn for, like we heard Mitch mention. It's the trust that we're trying to build in a market that we've heard come through that is multifaceted, as Braden pointed out there, yeah? So we've got this opportunity to create the trust, but it's got to come with all these other things as well. Media is just one element of that. It gives you a hit of awareness. It certainly gives you some brand association. So a big podcast can bring with it excellent brand association. An amazing media influencer, a modern media influencer like Heather, can give you some cool second-hand, you know, this. What does Heather say about you? If you're in the accounting game and Heather says your software is the best she's ever used, that carries with it excellent weight, right? You can't tell Heather what to say because Heather's got integrity. And she is going to not, she doesn't want to jeopardize that integrity with her audience. And the strength of her integrity comes from not bullshitting her audience, right? So she's only going to give you the thumbs up based on what you provide her in terms of information, in terms of your media performance. And that's the thing I get really excited about. You know, if you can give a convincing performance, a trustworthy performance, and then back it up with all this other stuff that when we poke and prod behind the scenes, backs it up. Like if you live your values, if you walk the talk, if you're not a person who sits there and goes, hey, check out our ESG policy and then does nothing behind the scenes, right? As long as you back up what you say and do in those media engagements, then yeah, you can rely on forming excellent trust in market that will one day lead to other, I like to call them dream opportunities for you and your brand.
Fabulous. Do we need to quickly sort of keep going through what is modern media so people are aware of what that modern media is? Because I think that we're frequently confronted with people who want to give us money, want us to give them money for legacy media.
Don't pay for media exposure. That's ads. That's advertising, right? So that's not editorial content. And there is editorial content coming through in the modern media space. I'll give you a story that demonstrates this beautifully. I have a lovely stepson. He's now 22 years old. I've been in his life since he was 8. And I met him. I was working on a breakfast radio show in Perth. And I was sort of halfway through my now 23-year, you know, broadcasting career. And all he knew me as was someone who was not there in the morning and then came home halfway through the day and said, hi, I'm, you know, going to pick up from school and I've this job on the radio. And he comes home in year 10 one day and says, oh, I'm going to do media next year. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've influenced this child's life to the point that he wants to be just like me. He's going to take media at school and he's going to be a radio announcer. No, he wanted to be a YouTuber. Right, that's modern media. The way that young people and the next generation are viewing media now is a modern media landscape that takes in a tiny section of it is legacy, television, radio, print, but the rest is it's big. And those big media companies are recognising that and they are using the digital platforms. So it's streaming, it's YouTube, it's podcasts, it's all of the social media as well. And the really good thing about modern media is that it's far more accessible and it's diverse. Suddenly we've got this multitude of stories that are coming through, and through influence and relationships you can probably steer the storytelling more in your favour than you probably could in the past with traditional media, which was probably it was held by gatekeepers.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more segregated, right, media now. There's a lot of niche players in the market, whether that's kind of looks like a traditional media business on the outside or whether they're just a creator who has, or, you know, specific expertise, and then they've created their own platform. But I think that's a really exciting opportunity for people like this in the room here who might be experts in a specific area, and then they can come to, you know, Heather, for example, for, you know, their kind of support on, you know, accessing a community of accountants specifically, as opposed to kind of just everyone and anyone, which might be the play you want to go after if you're going after a big media player like the AFR, for example.
I didn't prep them to promote me.
She only gets to ask the question, so we have to throw it back to her every now.
Could you share with us what are the key elements the startups should focus on when crafting a story for the media? Crafting that actual story, I'm sure is quite relevant for people here.
Yeah. Where do we start? Well, we'll probably tag team this one a bit, Gemma, couldn't we? You know, there are certain elements that make a good story. It should be relevant. You know, how up to date is it? Is it something that my audience cares about? And it should be relevant to the media's audience, not necessarily your audience. Again, you're borrowing their audience for a little bit. so that you can tell them what you want them to know and then hopefully benefit from that in the future. The other thing that I think comes into a story of any on any platform is human. You know, it's got to have an element that I relate to, that I can see myself in. You know, if you're telling me a story about walking to the top of an African mountain, I don't need to have walked to the top of an African mountain to be able to think, well, that would be hard. You're right. You know, I can empathise. I can create a feeling of relatability to that. So we've got relevance and humanness or relatability. I think that there's an element of that comes into it as well, that it's just entertaining. You know, we all know it. We all know when we've been engaged and entertained by something, we hang around. You know, we watch Oppenheimer for, what was it, nearly 3 hours in the cinema without going to the toilet. You know, it's good quality content. It's a great story. And so we like it so much that then we can pick it up and go tell our friends about it. So there's probably three things that leave some other...
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for startups is that, you know, when you're a founder in particular, you're in a little bubble and you're just thinking about your business every day and you're like, my God, this is the most important problem that could ever exist and my solution is the best solution that could ever exist as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is, but nobody else knows that and nobody else probably cares until you sell it to them in a really compelling way. Mm. So when you're looking at approaching media, you've got to start actually by one, getting really, really clear on what you think is really strong about your startup's pitch, what you want to convey, and get really clear on that first. Because if you, say, walk into a conversation with any kind of journalist in particular, or you jump on a podcast and you haven't got a clear idea of what you want to say first, they will just steer you in any which direction, and they will put their own agenda into that. Not necessarily maliciously, but they might be searching for a certain story, or they might just not really fully understand what it is that you do and what you want to convey. So get really, really clear on that first. Otherwise, you're probably going to be a little bit blindsided. So step one, get clear. And then the second one is overlay that kind of understanding of what is it that the media platform, that the journalist or the podcast interviewee, whoever it is, the moderator on a panel, wants to be able to convey to their audience. So it's what Carmen was saying. So everyone's got, you know, every media platform has kind of got their own remit of what they're trying to convey to their audience. They've got, you know, kind of almost their own KPIs. Say, for example, some media platforms, they're trying to keep some subscribers, like, you know, paying for a monthly subscription to their platform. They've got to try and keep certain audience of listeners. Like, for example, I think about, like, I don't know if anyone listens to Lenny's podcast or Lenny's newsletter. He's a product management expert out of the US. And he's very, very clear on who his audience is and what he does and doesn't cover in those podcasts. Mm. He doesn't like having long conversations with founders about their founder journey. He gets really, really specific into the detail of what is good product management. So if you were to jump onto Lenny's podcast and start talking about completely different things, he will steer you back. Mm. So you've got to be well prepared to convey a message that makes sense for that audience and that media platform's audience. Mm. So it's kind of step one, get clear on what you want to say, and then step two, figure out how you overlay what they want onto that and kind of filter through those messages.
Mm. Thank you. And to add to that, make sure that the founder can actually tell the story. I have a client who... the story takes him to a really dark place and then he can't get out of that dark place, and so it just leaves us all...
Yeah.
And I keep saying to him, I know that someone told you to tell the story, but stop telling it.
That's right. You've got to choose the days. Exactly.
Find another story.
Yeah.
We are running out of time. We've got so much to share with you. But what are some specific media strategies that early stage startups can use to maximise their exposure with limited resources?
Mm-hmm. I would say, so we started off this conversation by saying media is about platforms that you can't control and essentially trying to figure out how to pitch yourself to them so that they want to tell your story on your behalf. But I actually think a really great step for founders and to take before they jump into the world of media, which can be kind of very ambiguous and big and a little bit scary, is that you can figure out how you want to sell your own story on your own platform. So this is where the kind of concept of creating founder brand and figuring out how you craft that kind of comes into play. And the upside of creating your own founder brand is obviously that you control all of that content. You control what you want to say, you control how you say it, where you say it. And then it actually links back to what a media strategy could look like and how different media platforms could pick up on the key messages that you're saying. So say, for example, you create a really strong founder brand that's, you know, centered around a few key messages that come up. Like, for example, Mitch is a really great example of somebody who has kind of created a very good brand around himself. And people understand what he does and what value he has to offer. So if they're thinking, who should I have as a podcast guest, or who should I have at an event, and what questions might I ask him? He's already created a bunch of content that you could go to and have a look at, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I understand what this guy has to offer. I understand what to ask him. So he's helped kind of craft the narrative before he's even landed the media spot, if that makes sense. So I think it's a really great kind of practice also to do that founder or even operator branding first, and then delve into the world of media.
You know, and a lot of founders I talk to will say, oh, but we're not really ready. You know, we haven't even got a product to sell yet, so I'm not going to make any of that content. And I completely agree. That is your first stage. I work on another podcast. I've got my own podcast called Modern Media, and then I work on a podcast called The Experts, powered by Media Stable. It's a collaborative thing. And we talk to journalists. We talk to traditional media players. And, you know, they do check your socials. So you pitch them this awesome yarn. They want to use it. But they're going to go do the trust check on you first. Again, they don't want you to be a show bugger, yeah? So they want to make sure that you can string a few words together, that you know how to answer questions off the cuff. You're not going to use recited responses. That's your go-to pitch every single time. You know, we need that tailored content that suits the show you're on, the podcast you're pitching to. Now, the other thing you can use to great effect right now is jump on the trends. And TikTok is a trending platform right now. Journalists are paying attention to it, and you can get good attention from doing something extremely simple, 15 second to 90 second, or even doing lives that go a bit longer, where you simply share your story, your journey, and where you're at with it. You know, don't be afraid to say, we're not ready yet, there's nothing for you to buy, but here's a prototype. You know, talk to us about your process. And the benefit to you of doing that is that you've got awesome content for the next Netflix doco we're all going to want to make, right? The old photos of Canva before they were Canva, like, that stuff's gold. Be your own documentarian and keep track of your journey along the way, and share that with us on those owned media platforms of yours. And then one day the media, in a broader sense, for earned opportunities, will use that too.
And with that, we're going to get up and do a pre-prepared TikTok dance.
You do not have to dance. There's interest in dancing.
I think maybe we're going to do our role play.
Sure.
So we're going to invite all of you to take part in the next activity. So initially, Carmen and Gemma are going to role play introducing themselves in a dynamic and memorable way. And the breakdown of the elements involved. And then we're going to hand it over to you to do that with someone who's there by you.
Okay? Yeah, I think this is largely born out of the frustration we all have at events like this, right? It makes you want to leave the room. You know, someone will stand up and go, right, we're all just going to give a 30-second introduction to you. And people start going around the room going, hi, I'm Carmen Braidwood, I'm a television presenter. And they tell you this story and you aren't listening, because all you're doing is going, what the fuck am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? And you're rehearsing your own thing, right? So instead, what if we could teach you to look around the room and share something relevant first? Because no one cares about your name except the person who gave it to you. Until you've given me a reason, a what's in it for me, I'm not really listening to your name. And you've got more chance of your name landing when you've explained the relevance first. So let's say we were to workshop Jem's introduction to herself. The last thing she's going to say is her name. Why don't you give us an example of how you'd stand up at one of these networking events and tell me why you're relevant, then tell me who you are.
Sure. I mean, I actually introduced myself kind of with this in mind, exactly. Obviously, so I didn't mess up this example. But a kind of a shorter version of what I would say often is that it's like I help startups tell their story. And I do that through Stellar Startups and Overnight Success. Stellar Startups, I'm a marketing advisor. Overnight Success is a platform where we help tell startup stories. So it kind of starts with the perspective of, like, I help people tell, you know, tell their stories, and that maybe in people in their heads they go, oh, I need help with that. Another way, you know, sometimes I would do it is say, oh, like, you know, introduce a pain point or a problem. And it's quite similar to how you might pitch a startup. It's kind of how you pitch yourself. You start with a problem, kind of bring it out here. This is a big problem. This is how I solve it. And then get into the detail of who my, what my business is, what my solution is, you know, the packages that we offer, like later. But you don't start with the detail. You start with the big picture that might be relevant to the biggest, largest number of people in the room. Yeah.
And I really love to, you know, if depending on the audience, but you know how everyone's telling you to make video right now, right? I'm that coach who's helping you with the fact that as soon as someone sticks a camera in your face, you've completely forgotten all the cool things it is that you have to offer, right? So I'm the coach who helps you with that specific moment. And then I explain to people who I am. So with that in mind, I think the best way is to just turn to each other and give each other a version of your introduction that maybe you haven't done before.
Hello. I thought that you perhaps didn't need to listen to the audience eruption as we led into that practical activity, but it is something that I encourage you to potentially try out yourself and reach out to one of us with what you have in terms of your introduction. Perhaps you want to put it up on LinkedIn and tag us all in it. I'm sure we'll all jump over and comment on it. So I'd like to encourage you to keep up to date with the modern accounting technology landscape by subscribing to the Accounting Apps podcast, the Accounting Apps newsletter, and join the conversations happening in the Accounting Apps mastermind community. I also encourage you to go and have a look at the Tropical Innovation Festival website and subscribe so you can keep up to date with their next festival, which will happen in 2025, and maybe I will meet you there. I'm your host, Heather Smith, and it's pretty easy to find me on all social media platforms. I look forward to connecting with you.